So from Luke chapter 3, beginning with verse 15, listen with me for the word of the Lord. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And from verse 21, now when all the people who were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I know that the snow is quickly going away. It's kind of more of an icy treatment now where there's still pieces. I didn't even make any snow cream. We had it on our to-do list, but we just got busy doing nothing and didn't do it this year. So if any of y'all have any leftover snow cream, I'll be happy to be the snow cream taster. I don't know. Snow cream doesn't do too good after a day or two in the freezer, does it? I had a friend, I still have a friend, Miss Sally Qualls, who used to say this, longtime anchor in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, my friend Michael Qualls' mama. She said, when it snows, a big old snow, my yard looks as good as all my neighbors. Well, isn't that the truth? We're all kind of on the level playing field when that happens. It all looks the same. We all are at our best, I guess. It's level, it's white, it's pure, it's beautiful. Well, friends, in a far greater way than a big snow, in this text today, we hear by Jesus' actions, even more than the words of what the gospel writer is saying here today, that we are one. We are all on the level playing field. We are made white as snow through the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and by the gift of baptism. It was in his baptism. Did you hear it? They kind of say it in a unique way. Luke does, the writer here. He says in verse 21, now when all the people had been baptized, and when Jesus had also been baptized. Jesus is right in there with a lot of them. And who's the lot of them? If we back up in the passage, we'll hear who they are. John described them with these subtle words. Here's what he called them. You brood of vipers. You soldiers. You folks who made your living taking care of other people. You poor people. You outcasts. You who are all different folks from everywhere, come and receive this gift, and through God's grace, be one. Part of the family. We are all welcome. As our book of order would say, God's gracious gift of redeeming love is offered to all people. That's the good news of Jesus bringing together in this great gift today, even though he was the Son of God without sin, he too embraced the gift of baptism because he said, you're part of my family. I'm going to embrace your brokenness, and we are resurrected from these waters into life forevermore. So we celebrate the gift, the humility of our Lord, tasting and receiving this holy gift of heaven that he made a sacrament called baptism. You know, for some of us, maybe we were baptized as infants or young children, and we don't remember a lot about our baptism. If we're infants, we don't know anything about it. And perhaps there are times in our journey we say, you know, I feel like I need to renew this. I need to do this again. And in our tradition, we use these words very delicately, and we say there is a service within our tradition for those who may not remember or feel like they need to renew. Within our tradition, there is a service in our book of worship that speaks of renewal and recommitment. Understanding that in the life of a person, there may be times in their journey where they want to reaffirm, renew their commitment to what Christ has already done through their baptism. That's called a reaffirmation of the baptism. It's a service where you re-proclaim your faith in Jesus Christ. You make a profession of faith. For some, as young people, we know that as a time of confirmation, our young people. But you know, I want you to remember this. As we celebrate the reaffirmation of baptism covenant for that gift for those, may we never forget that truly our baptism, we only have one baptism. Because when God did it the first time, God did it right. Even when we've drifted away, even when we feel like we need to renew, that is a holy sacrament to go through those words, to touch the water again, to remember what God did for us and never forget that He marked us and claimed us and sealed us as His forever through those waters of grace. You know, I think about my own baptism. And I don't remember much about it. But every day when I touch water, every day when I take a shower or wash my hands or clean myself, it's a reminder, a reaffirmation of what God has done for me forever. He's conquered my sins then, now, and forever. That's the gift of baptism. That's the holy promise. You know, this week I had some car trouble. I was in Memphis and Manya got that call you don't want to get. My car's not hardly moving. I think you're going to have to come get me. So we got it towed to our friends at Farrah Ward Ford. Can we trust them, Robert? Will they do us a good job? I think so. Y'all think we can trust Robert Farrah? I believe so. We got it towed over there, and we're looking. We're trying to figure out what it is. But I suspect, and I hope and pray, it's not something so major that we just have to give up on it. I hope it can be restored, renewed, and still filled with life. Isn't that what happens when we remember our baptism in a far greater way? It's our reaffirmation, our renewal, our reminder that God brings renewal in life to us every day when we remember what God done once and for all for us. But maybe you ask, you know, you say, but do you have to be baptized? In our tradition, we don't believe that you have to be baptized to have the gift of life in Jesus Christ. But the question is, why wouldn't we be baptized when it's a gift of God's grace, something to guide us and nurture us on our life's journey? I think of my old faithful dog, Cody, that we had for years. Cody was a big old fuzzy, mangy-looking dog when he first showed up. Can I say mangy-looking in the pulpit? He was. He was a old nasty dog, furry, fuzzy, had cuckleburrs all in his hair, and he'd come walking up to Monya and my house, even before we had Noah, and we got him a haircut, and my goodness, he was skin and bones. He looked like a big old fuzzy lion, and then we cut him, and he really looked like a lion then. And we gave him some food, and we got him a collar. Manya did. We got him a collar and gave him some food, and she got him a little name plate made and said right across the front, Cody. And then it had our address and phone number. And you know what that nameplate said to everybody and everyone who looked at Cody from then on? He was part of the family. He had a name. And he was worthy of restoration. We celebrated that. We signified that. We gave him a name. He was set apart. Friends, why would we not celebrate the gift of baptism when we celebrate everything else ceremonially in our life? Our weddings, we set it apart. We celebrate. Our graduation, we invite all the family to come. Our inaugurations, our victories, when our teams win sports, we get that ring, we have a celebration. Why would we not celebrate the life-giving love of God in our life through the gift of baptism? It's our gift. It's for us as God's children. But you know, maybe that gift isn't just for us. Maybe the gift of baptism is also for others. I think of this family that I ministered to for some time when I was an interim at their church. I'll call them Ray and Gwen. And Gwen was a faithful churchgoer, never missed a worship service, always there. Ray had this debilitating, terrible illness where he had excruciating pain most of the time, migraines and other illnesses that he dealt with on a daily basis. He wasn't able to get out and do things and enjoy life the way he once had. And every once in a while, pretty regularly, Gwen would invite me over to their home, maybe for a meal or just to visit Ray. She always asked me every Sunday, pray for Ray, keep praying for him. And when I would go visit Ray, he was always warm. He was always hospitable. But it was kind of like I was a salesman and he wasn't buying what I was selling. There was a bit of a barrier there. Gwen would say, every time I visited, she'd walk outside with me and say, you know, I really believe, Jody, I believe he has Jesus in his heart. I really think that he has a relationship with the Lord. But there was always a hint of a question, always a not knowing as Gwen would wrestle with the faith of her husband. She was always the one to call, always the one to reach out to me until one day the phone rang from their home and it was Ray. And he said, Jody, was there any way you could come by the house today? I'd like to be baptized. And I went. And we got the water. And we placed it upon his head. And we proclaimed that sacred rite in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that he had been set apart forever. You know, today, I bet if you were to ask Gwen about her baptism, she may not be able to tell you the exact day, the time, or even how old she was. But if you ask her about Ray's, I think she would give you every detail, down to every dot and every cross of the T. Because you see, our baptism isn't just a gift for us, but for those who love us through the grace of the Lord. Amen.